as a child of God, a brand new nature as a child of God. John chapter 3 says, Jesus answered and said in him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then he says in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." We also looked at Titus chapter 3, and I'm just briefly going over these really quick because we were a little bit in a hurry last week as we were finishing up, and I wanted to make sure that we solidified that in our hearts and in our minds. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved." That's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, "Well, Brother Dan, I don't know that I would boast." I beg to differ with you. We have pride. Everybody has pride, and we boast about certain things, and we certainly would. And if you say, "Well, Brother Dan, I'm just not the kind." Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever compared yourself to someone else who is worse than you are? Who is more of a sinner than you are? Then that is pride that wells up in you and says, "I'm not as bad as that other person." And so we all deal with it. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." And then he says in Titus 3:5, "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So the Holy Spirit within us at the moment of salvation begins his work of renewing us, of renewing us. Why? We have to be changed. When we got saved, some of us were saved at a young age, and that's wonderful. They tell me, those that know a lot more than I do, and that's a whole lot of people, I can tell you that. But those that know more than I about child psychology, they say that between the time of birth and 5 years old, there's some 85 to 90% of everything that that individual is going to be is developed between that age, which is a scary thought when you got a drooling toddler. That is a very scary thought. That development happens, and the majority of that development happens during that time. It is a very critical time. Renewing of the Holy Ghost at the moment of salvation, when you get saved, everything that you know, everything that's been pumped into you, everything that you've observed, everything that you've absorbed, every thought process, all your personality, everything in you has developed you to be who you are. Then you get saved. And when you get saved, the Bible says, "Behold, if any man is in Christ, he's a brand new creature. Old things are passed away. Everything has become new." How do we then live this new, brand new life as a new creature in Christ if it were not for the help of the renewing of the Holy Spirit? And that process is what you and I are living. That's what we, when we look around and we notice, now some of us have been saved for quite some time, so some of us that have known each other for several years, you've seen that renewing process in others and in yourself. And it's not always a pleasant experience. You've seen where somebody acts out, right? Or something like that. And all part of that growing process. And sometimes we respond well to the renewing. Sometimes we don't respond well to that renewing. We act out. Or we resist what's going on in our life. And when that happens, then the Holy Spirit and God, they works in your heart. Does that work in your heart? Sometimes some of us are very moldable. We're very easy to work on and work with. There's some of us in this room, and don't laugh or don't flinch or don't do anything or you're going to give yourself away. We're a little bit more stubborn than others. And it takes a little bit more. We have 5 children. I'm blessed this morning to have all 3 of my daughters present this morning. We had a great time this weekend, and it's good to have them. But out of 5, you can imagine, we have every different type of personality in our home at one time. And it was exciting. And some, and we won't give names or illustrations, but some were very moldable. There was others that they defied your mere existence. Or it seemed that way. You've had some experiences before with children. And so the molding process, the renewing process, it takes a little bit longer. It's no different in a believer than it is in a human being. It's that's just it. Then he says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again. This is very, very, very vital, very important, very key. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. When you were born again into the family of God, when you became a new creature, you were born again not of half corruptible, half uncorruptible. No, the Bible says you were born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So if we believe everything that God says about himself and who he is and his nature and all that, if we believe that, then we must also believe what he says about the fact that when we're born again not of corruptible seed. And we talked about that. When does this happen? It occurs at the moment of salvation. And where we got into it and where we left off was the benefits of being regenerated. The benefits of being regenerated. Number one, we die to sin and our old nature, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. And I'll read that really quick. I know I skipped over it briefly last week, but that's why I wanted to take time. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ or submerged into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And that's where the Bible says in Galatians, walk ye in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. You're also walking in the newness of life, this life in Christ. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. The Bible is very detailed, and every word matters when it says, knowing this, that our old man not was, is, that's present, is right now, the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we looked at that, we talked about that, and we're going to review a little bit of that here that comes up in just a moment. So number one, we die to sin in our old nature. Number two, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus with a brand new nature according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We've quoted that many times. Behold, if any man is in Christ, he's the new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, or from now on, everything has become new. Number three, we walk in newness of life, according to the verse we just read, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. We're walking in newness of life. That walk is something that we learn. That walk is not something that we just automatically, we just know. We have to learn how to walk because we've had time before we were saved. We've had time to learn how not to walk in the newness of life. And some of us more than others. But we're not comparing here. When we were saved completely. Amen? When we became a new creature, we didn't become a new partial creature. We became a new complete creature in Christ Jesus. When Christ paid for sin on the cross, past, present, future, all my sins at that time were going to be future sins. And right now, as I'm living, what he paid for is in the past. And he said, "It is finished. Done. Nothing can be added to paying more for my sin." He did a complete job. The blood that he shed was perfect blood. It was the only payment, the only blood sacrifice that could be made to pay the price of sin for mankind. God chose a perfect lamb, and that perfect lamb was slain and paid a complete and perfect price for my sin. I cannot add anything to it. You say, "Well, Brother Dan, you got to live right." Amen. We should live right. But that does not do anything to add to your salvation. You don't become more saved by being good after you're saved. You don't become more saved. Well, I mean, you can just do that all day long, but it doesn't say that. We don't become more saved or more holy or more complete or more new creature. Why? You didn't do the work. He did the work. He does the work. Hallelujah for that. So we become a child of God according to John 1:12. Number four. Number five, we receive a new ability to overcome temptation and the world. 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says this. 1 John 3, verse 9. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is" what? Pure. I don't feel pure. You're a new creature. Feel it or not, you're a new creature. It's what he made you. Well, I don't feel like that. Well, he gives you that ability. Look at chapter 5 and verse 14, or verse 4. He says, "For whatsoever is born of God does" what? "Overcometh." When someone overcomes something, what is that letting us know? That means that you've won, right? You've won. You have control. You overcome it. Yes. You're right. We've already done that. Whoever is born of God overcometh the world. And it says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Even our faith. At the moment of salvation, you took your faith and you placed it in Christ. You said, "I believe." And when you did that, that faith, that saving faith, made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And all that work was done, not by you, it was done by somebody else. Been done by the only one that could do it. And then he takes and he says, "You've already overcome. You've overcome the world already." How? By the faith that you placed in me way back when you became a new creature. You're better than that. That's why I've said before, we don't live down here anymore. and strive to be up here. We have already achieved that. You say achieved as in we earned it? No. We achieved it by faith and putting our trust and faith in Christ Jesus. We're overcomers. Amen. We're already there. We already know what happens. We win. It's a done deal. Why? Because he won. He conquered death and sin and the law. He fulfilled, he completed. It's done. Well, Brother Dan, I'm going to need to chew on that a little bit. That's a little rough. Yeah, it is a little rough. And you know why? It totally removes Dan from the equation. It removes me from the equation. I have nothing to do with it. And do you know how hard it is to accept something? You know, as we get older, one of the things that we have to accept is our limitations. I can no longer jump over a sofa like I used to when I was younger. Just a fact. Have you tried? I won't even go there. Things happen now when we act like kids. I've realized my limitations. In salvation, God says, listen, I've taken care of it all. And this is your standing with me. You're already there. And all he does is he asks us just to rest in him, rest in what he's already done. Rest in the victory, rest in the overcoming, rest in the completed work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. I believe that if we were to change our mentality towards that, we would live different. That is it's the love that he had. We sang about that earlier. It's the love that he had for us, which is the motivating factor. The love of Christ constraineth us. It is the driving force that causes us to want to live for him. Why? We've already overcome. We already won. Because he won and he said, I'm his. I'm with him.
Amen.
It's a pretty good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not on my own now. It doesn't depend on me. Moms, how much pressure were you under as the kids were growing up? You felt like it depended on you, and to a great extent, it did. Or else the laundry didn't get done, or the dishes didn't get washed, or the food didn't get cooked, or the book bags didn't get arranged. I mean, it depended on you. But guess what? In Christ, it doesn't depend on us. We can rest in that. We receive a new love for God, the things of God, the people of God, the Word of God. We receive the privileges of children and heirs of the King, such as the promise of answered prayer. I've changed the way I pray now. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. We didn't even ask him. He knows what I want. He knows me more than I know. And even when I can't pronounce it or I can't verbalize it, the Holy Spirit runs and says, this is what he wants to say.
Amen.
Thank you for doing it. You say, well, how crass. How haughty of you to be able to... He told me that I could do that. That if it's his will, it'll get done. We receive a new freedom in Christ and a new victory over fear. Romans 8:15 says this. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We receive the blessing of the chastening work of the Father as well. You said, wait a minute, you said blessing and chastening all in the same phrase. I did. And that takes care of this issue that is outstanding, because everything that we've talked about up until this point of the benefits that we have with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and that regenerating work that the Spirit does in us, somehow we feel, oh, wait, you can't tell Christians that they have too much freedom in Christ, because if you tell them that they've got too much freedom in Christ, they're going to take you up on it. And they're going to act like the devil himself. Well, you may or may not. Number one, the love of Christ, and when you consider what he's done for you and the work that he does in you, you don't want to, number one. Number two, let's say you're going to. And we are still saints that occasionally sin. Remember we talked about that? We've been saved, we've been renewed, but we will make a mistake. If we continue in that, the Bible says that something is going to happen. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening." I love the wording there. It's not punishment. We don't get punished for our sins if you're saved. Punishment is death and hell. Once you're saved, you don't get punishment. You don't get death and hell. You get wore out, but you don't get punished. Okay? "The chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth," what does he do? "He will chasten, and he scourgeth every son or daughter whom he" what? "Whom he receiveth. If ye endure the chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye" what? He uses a word that we're not supposed to use in church, but it is in the Bible. I'll let you read it, and that way we won't have to say it out loud, okay? "And not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" So if you think that you're going to do whatever you want, which is what some folks are afraid that Christians will do if they're told totally what they have in Christ, if you act out like that and you insist on it, God's going to say, "Come here a second." And he's going to take you to the spiritual woodshed. And you will know when that is. I won't know for you. You have the Holy Spirit. He is your personal Savior. He is your personal God. And he's your personal Father. He will let you know. I have no business sticking my nose in your business and deciding for you when or not you're being chastened. Because sometimes things happen to us that are not chastening. The Bible talks about moments in our life where we experience certain things, and God does it in our life just so that he can get the glory. And he knows that whatever individual that he has chosen for that to happen to, they got what it takes to put up under it. And he gets the glory because of it. So I keep my nose out of your business when you're going through something, and only you know whether or not it's from God. Sometimes God will just give you a look. And you're like, ooh, yeah, sorry. Sometimes we don't get it. He looks, and we ain't getting it. So then he descends down, and he wears us out. And we know, oh, my soul, I got to quit that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Lord says, okay, that's all right. We got this. We paid for it. It's all good. Don't be giving me a bad name. And then there's some that insist. They insist, they insist, they insist. And God says, you know what? You're better off with me. Come on home. Come down to the house because you're making me look bad. And he takes them on home. And that happens. Okay, that happens. Again, I'm not the judge. I don't say when it is and when it isn't. I have seen that happen in people's life before, where they've said, I know for a fact that I'm saved. Well, then if you're saved, he's going to wear you out. And if you insist on acting like you want to act and not like he wants you to act, then you'll be taken out, taken home. You're better off there. So these are the privileges that we have. Now, I wanted to finish that. Just a reminder, when we looked at that one verse, and we talked about we're not professional sinners, but we do wake up. We don't wake up every day to practice sin. I don't do that. It's not something I live for. But we've had a transformation that takes place. Regeneration is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. As I finish, let me just say this. As God is doing the regenerating work in you and my life, when does that end? It ends when we leave this world. Okay? He either says physically, all right, it's time to die, or he comes back and he takes us all. Okay? That regenerating work will take place that whole time. In the meantime, what should I do? Be patient. Remember that old saying, be patient with me, God's not finished with me yet? We need a lot of patience. Because some of us, like Dan, have a lot of work that needs to take place in that regenerating process. Amen? How many are glad for the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and what he does in the work of a believer? Isn't it amazing? And I'm so glad that he took care of every single detail. Lord, thank you so much. We love you. Use us now for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.